The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericaempowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
It's time for Star Power Hour, brought to you by ForTalent.com. We'll cover what's hot in the arts and entertainment industry. Our guests will talk about projects they're currently working on and what they're about to do next. You don't want to miss today's show. Now, here is your host, James Barber.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Star Power Hour. This is James Barber once again on VoiceAmerica.com, brought to you by ForTalent.com, your arts and entertainment social network. So last week, guys, you heard the show I called the tour bus. Because why? Because I was driving cross country. Me and my golden retriever in the truck driving cross country, and I seen some stuff, people. I seen some people. I now know why we are the biggest, heaviest country in the world. We got to stop eating this Hardee's and McDonald's and blah, 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 all that GMO stuff. I saw somebody with six arms. I'm not kidding you. I saw a guy in some state, I'm not going to mention, he had six arms. And I said to him, why do you have six arms? He goes, I eat McDonald's. That's what I do. I eat McDonald's. How you doing? You want to see my truck? No, I didn't see him with six arms. He actually had four arms, but it was good because he was helping me change a tire. Anyway, guys, we had I had a lot of fun driving cross country. The dog did very well. She's amazing. She drove part of the way so I could sleep. Very well trained animal, which I'm grateful for, because I got some shut eye while I was driving. But it is a beautiful country. All joking aside, for those of you who have not seen most of it, that was my 13th time driving cross country, believe it or not. Yes, I fly. I like to fly, but I do not like to fly my big golden retriever. I don't, because there's so many horror stories. So I just pop in the truck and drive, and it's gorgeous. It's absolutely gorgeous country. And it, no matter what your political beliefs are, here's the bottom line, folks. We are all on this planet together. Whether you're Republican, Democrat, Independent, Spindependent, Quadabada, Blackwood, Hootabada, GDD, whatever you are, we're all people. You know, North Korean, South Korea. I'm going to South Korea. I told you that. I'm going to direct A Tale of Two Cities in South Korea. And people are like, you're going? I'm like, yeah, of course I'm going. And I'm not going to stop my life for, you know, political machinations. You know, I'm aware, I'm careful. But here's the thing. I hate the idea that we fight each other. I hate the idea that we, you know, this has got to be this way. This has got to be that way. Tolerance and listening are the key to having a peaceful existence. And, you know, you don't learn that unless you travel the world a lot. You don't learn that anymore than by driving across the country or visiting our country, because you can see the diversity. You can see the different races intermingling. You can see the different political aspirations and beliefs intermingling. And the bottom line is we have got to stick together and work out. All these things are going to work out. It's the only way we're going to survive on the big scheme. I really believe it. So that being said, this is my little soapbox for the first 2 minutes of this thing. I have a guest that I am super groovy excited about. Yes, I said groovy. Why? Because that was my era, folks. I'm old. And she is, I just told you, it's a she. Some of you don't know. I was hinting at it. Some of you do know because we were tweeting about it. She's a two-time Emmy Award-winning actress. The number one rated daytime show, The Young and the Restless, viewed by more than 20 million people every day in some 20 countries worldwide. Talk about crossing the boundaries in terms of art. You know, that's the thing. She can go to these countries. She's a superstar there, and it really is great for, you know, just media relations. I mean, she could be – you could be like a peacemaker, Michelle Stafford, and that is my guest, the amazing Michelle Stafford. Are you there?
I am like a peacemaker already. I am.
You are. Tell me.
It's kind of what I do. Yeah.
Are you really? Tell me about it.
Well, you know, God, what's there to tell? James, I just make peace.
You know? I walk around and I just hold up the peace symbol all the time. Like whenever I see some, you know, fisticuffs going on, I just hold up the peace sign. I'm like, hey, peace, brother.
And you're like, hey, man, why fight? You know, let's just love.
Love, baby. Love, love,
yeah.
love.
Seriously, I'm not a big fan of fighting.
No, me neither.
Not a big fan. No.
And ironically enough, I just did this off-Broadway show called Donnybrook, and the title means fighting. It's about it's based on the movie The Quiet Man.
Yeah.
John Wayne. It was all about fighting at the end. But it doesn't get you anywhere. You know, what does it get you?
Your
dad's bigger than my dad.
Up.
You know, whatever.
But at the same time, I don't agree that you should just always be like everything's great. You know, sometimes you got to go, hey, what are you doing? You know, you got to be stern, and it could lead to a fight, but you got to be willing to have it happen.
Yeah, you got to have confront, because there are things in this world that are not necessarily great. Look, you know, Kim Jong-un, you know, he's like a big kid with big toys who is spoiled. And unfortunately, his toys can do some real damage. And there's got to be a point where you got to get, you know, enough is enough, you know.
Yeah.
And there are also things that, you know, you and I have spoken about and you know, we have thought of in terms of other things. And, you know, you have to stand up for certain things and because they lead to resolution ultimately. But I agree with you.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm about like just spreading joy these days. You know, we got social media and there's so much negativity and so much funk because it's just, you know, it's just a huge forum to just say what's ever on your mind. And many times what's on our mind is, you know, kind of riddled with angst. And there's really no need to write that down and spread that, you know, to others because it just jacks them up, right? So I'm all about just spreading love on social media and, you know, on Instagram. That's my favorite. That's my favorite of all the social medias, Instagram.
What's your handle on Instagram?
The Real Stafford.
And isn't that your
I'm not the fake Stafford, dude. I'm the real Stafford.
You are the real Stafford.
I am.
And you're the real Stafford on Twitter, too, right? It's the same thing.
Yeah, I'm
Twitter,
the real Stafford on Twitter. I'm the real Stafford on Instagram. I'm the real Stafford in my home.
You are. And there are two Staffords in your home.
Oh, there are. Me and my little Stafford.
Yeah. I got two little barbers.
You do. Yeah. Oh, gosh. I want more. I really do. You know, I'm going to use this to just really put out that I am completely taking husband applications.
You will have people lined up outside your door. Thank God nobody knows where you live. They're going to be lined up outside your door, Michelle.
That's really nice of you. Thank you.
Oh my God. All right, listen. This is what I want you guys to do. Who's listening? You have to email me first because I need to screen these people. You can go to the starpowerhour@gmail.com, email me your proposal questions, or go, you know, obviously you can go on Twitter to The Real Stafford and get her yourself.
I like the idea of having a screener. I like the idea of that.
I love it. I absolutely love it. Yeah, you know, what's wild is that when, because I was James_Barber on Twitter, and then somebody started sending tweets to me who was at James Barber, like without the underscore. And I'm like, and there were tweets that were sent to this guy as if he were me. Right.
Yeah,
and I was like, oh man. And you know, so it was got all confusing and you know, I'm not verified, unfortunately. So, you know, I don't have the status to be a verified Twitterati. You're verified. How does that happen? Did they just send you, say
you know
something and say, hey, you're verified?
I'll tell you how it happened. I think that CBS did it with all of us. I think CBS started getting serious with the social media, and then all of a sudden, like one day, every single actor was verified, and I was like, "Whoa, okay, thanks."
Did they tell you, or did it just show up a little blue Twitter thing?
Yeah, it was just a little blue check.
Wow,
and all of a sudden,
that's cool.
I was verified. It was rad. Thanks, CBS. Yeah. We got some pull there. No?
I'm buying to be like a nano celebrity that is never verified, that I will never be verified.
Oh, no. Yeah, you got to stick with it now. You totally got to stick with it. Yeah. But I dig it. I really dig talking to people. There are some wonderful, wonderful people that follow me. I mean, most are wonderful. You know, every now and then I get some rude person, but it doesn't even matter. I don't even care. And on Instagram, I almost feel like they're my chicks. You know, I almost feel like they're my good friends, you know. They'll comment on pictures and they'll say such beautiful things. You know, my sister is battling cancer right now. Mm. And breast cancer. And oh my gosh, the women have been so, I can't even tell you, like if I talk about it too much, I'll start to cry because, but they've been so incredibly lovely. All the support and all the lovely comments from people and, just the incredible support. It's been great. And there's this hashtag that was created and it was F-U-C-K. I can't say it right.
F-U-C-K. Yeah, you can. It's internet.
Oh, I can. Fuck cancer. Oh yeah, it's the internet. I can say whatever I want. Okay. It's fuck cancer. Hashtag.
I remember you going, putting all that up there. I remember seeing it.
I know. And it's a great hashtag. And the women who actually have cancer who are battling it, really appreciate it because you have to get into that mode when you're battling this disease. It's gnarly, you know. Yeah. The chemo's gnarly. What it does to your body is gnarly. You're basically killing your body, but not dying from it. You know, you're killing everything in it, and everything about it is just the hardest thing. And so, you know, I found this hashtag. I started, you know, tweeting it. And the women and people just jumped on it. And I had probably 2% say, you know, that's profanity and you're ridiculous for doing that. And then, of course, I would tweet it more.
Yeah, of course. I totally get it. You know, and look, because I lived that. I have never had cancer. Both my mother and father had it. And, you know, it's a battle. And I remember I just wanted to go, okay, come on. Come on, I'm going to fight you. I'm going to go down fighting you.
Yeah,
with totally. Them. And you have to. You know, in my mind, you got to. But, you know, we talked about that. Fighting is fighting.
You have to have a fight, and you have to have that attitude. And, you know, the people usually who would say, oh, that's profane, you know, I'd be like, it's a profane disease. You got to fight it with this. And you know, usually they hadn't gone through it, you know. Yeah. But all the women who had gone through cancer and men really appreciated it. I started a whole deal with it. All the people who follow me are just so lovely.
It's awesome. And one of my dear, dear friends, a guy that I went to college with, his wife fought cancer and won. And, you know, same thing your sister's going through. And, you know, that's the cool thing about social media is it transcends borders, you know, it transcends people, you know, even if someone can't watch you on television all the time or get, you know, in my case, get to come see me do a concert or whatever, they can follow me on Twitter and, or on Facebook or on, or, you know, even here on the internet, you know, people can listen when they're not able to. And that's what I love about it because it allows, you know, it's a thing I talked about in the beginning. It puts us all on the same playing field. You know, I've been through a lot of crap in my life, you know, and people have assumptions. They make assumptions. They make choices. But guess what? Once we get talking and once we understand things, there's still going to be people who have their opinions. But most of the time, people are like, oh, wow, I never knew that. And you're on the same playing field. So listen, we're going to take our first break here. And when we come back, I want to talk about how you got into Young and the Restless. What was your journey there? And because I got an interesting story about it. So, hey, guys, stay tuned with us on the Star Power Hour. This is James Barber with the incredible Michelle Stafford. We will be right back.
Live up to your fullest potential. This is the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Everybody has a dream. For some, that dream is to become an actor, comedian, or dancer. Others dream of signing a recording contract, being on Broadway, or directing their own film. Now those dreams can come true, because on 4talent.com, we turn the spotlight on talent. On 4talent.com, everyone can participate in online contests and festivals. Log on and get into exclusive interviews with industry experts, create personal scrapbooks and photo albums, plus communicate with other members who share your passions. So what are you waiting for? Whether you're an artist or a fan, sign up today. Membership is free. Join today, and you just might be one of the people who get to say,
I got my break on 4talent.com, and you can too.
Live up to your fullest potential. This is the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
You are tuned in to Star Power Hour, brought to you by 4talent.com. Your host is James Barber. If you'd like more information about 4talent.com and what we do, just log on to our website at 4talent.com. Now, back to the show.
And welcome back, Star Power Hour. I got to tell you, the Santa Anas. And, you know, I first when I heard Santa Ana, I'm like, oh, Santa Ana, it's like Christmas, but in California. It's not. There are these winds that, like, if you have a ton of moisture in your body, the wind hits, and all of a sudden you're, like, dry as a leather belt.
And you're like, hello, hello, I'm talking like this. I'm talking like Biafra.
And the Santa Ana's hit, and, you're like, I just start coughing. Anyway, we are here with the amazing Michelle Stafford. We were talking about some cool stuff. Over the break, you were talking about this new website or your website that you're developing. So tell us about that.
Yes. Yes. Well, okay. This is how it started. Okay. I started doing tweeting this stuff, and I would tweet, you know, somewhat truthful and humorous things about my experiences as a single mom, you know, because I basically just had my daughter on my own. Yeah. I made
which is
her
awesome,
on my
by the way. Well done.
What? Yeah, thank
it's
you.
It's awesome. I think it's incredible.
With the help of a lovely, lovely, lovely gentleman's sperm. And I'm so happy that I can actually say the word sperm here.
Well, you can always say, with a gentleman's sperm whale, I once...
I have to
say something that you don't think is good. It's like, you know, crap, boppily. I don't know. Whatever.
My whole journey as a single mom, as basically a single working mom, which there are millions out there, right?
Yeah, tons.
And, you know, still trying to, like, get my groove on as a chick, you know, and how I'm working that all into being a working mom and then being a mom and then also, you know, being a chick who's out there, you know, trying to get her groove on, right? So there are a lot of women who that's their same deal. So I found sort of a humorous take on it, and I'm getting my website together as we speak, and I'm going to just blog, and I created this hashtag, doing it as a single chick. And, you know, the gals on Instagram were just started using it, and they're like, I'm a single chick. And then even some women who are married, you know, they're like, hey, I'm doing it as a single chick. My husband's working all day. And I'm like, yeah, join in, you know. So yeah. So there's just I just kind of have my first of all, my daughter is very, very humorous. I just naturally a funny person, which is really, I think, very lucky for me because I'm not a big fan of serious, right?
And right,
not me
either.
So I'm getting the blog together and just honestly talking about, you know, various dates I go on, which seem to these days always kind of blow up on my face. And anything, you know, in my life that has ever been funky, I have to make it funny. I have to. I mean, it's just how I work, how I am. Because I can't get into, you know, the funky part of it. You know, like, deal with it and figure it out and move on. But I have to make it funny. So that's sort of what it is. So it's the hashtag, doing it as a single chick. I want people to start, like, using that with their pictures and their tweets, their funny tweets about how they're, you know, getting
You know what? That's what we should have called this episode. Maybe we'll call it. Maybe I'll write into the guys. D's our engineer. D was an amazing engineer when we do this. Maybe I'll change the title of the episode if we can do it to what is it again? Life as a single chick.
Doing it as a single chick.
Maybe I'll see if I can get the episode changed to that title for Thursday. Because everybody who follows this, well, your folks probably would not have heard the show if they're tuning in on Thursday, but we pre-record on Monday just because my schedule is absolutely crazy. Mm-hmm. And the show airs on Thursday. So maybe we'll do Doing It as a Single Chick as the title of the show. That'd be cool.
Awesome.
Hashtag. I think that's a great idea because, you know, for me, you know, we have two kids and my amazing wife, she was a major ballet dancer and now she has her own little fitness company, it's a great fitness company, but I'm all over the place. Like I was in New York and they came back from New York and I was there for a month. Then I have to go to Korea for a month and a half. And, you know, it sucks because I don't get to see my girls. I want to be with them 24/7, you know, but it's the way the business is for me, you know, in terms of that. And, but, you know, one of the things that we're doing with her is that, you know, there are so many moms. And when you look at my wife, you know, she's in her late 40s. She just turned 47. She's not ashamed to say it. But she looks like she's, you know, early, late 20s, early 30s, right?
I know.
And so we're doing this whole fitness thing for moms and stuff like that through her website, because it's sort of an unsung, you know, people talk about it all the time. And I was like, oh, yeah, single mom, you know, and then I got married and then I saw what you guys do. And, you know, even moms that are married, but look, you know, I'm gone. She's I mean, I can't believe the stuff that she does and you guys do. It's a huge, huge thing.
Yeah, she's so welcome. That's why I didn't want to just make it for women without husbands or partners. I wanted to make it like, you know, sometimes the women who are married, they're like, hey, man, I feel like a single chick. But I did have a joke when Natalia was first born. Yeah. I did have a joke because that was just, oh, my God, that first year blew me away. Blew me away how difficult it was. And I was working almost every day, right?
Wow.
Now, and also, you know, some people know this, but, you know, somebody else carried my child for me. For reasons that, I don't want to get into. It's so boring. But somebody else ended up carrying my child. I had a surrogate. But she's my biological child, but this beautiful, beautiful woman carried her for me. And so I could physically go back to work, right? So I did. I think I had like a week and a half off after Natalia was born, and then I went to work. And it was, and I did not have any, I had help during the day, but I didn't have any nighttime help. I did it all on my own. And it was so exhausting. And I remember some of my married friends would go, oh, it's exhausting for me too. And I'm like, oh no, listen, even if my man was sitting on the sofa, Fritos in one hand, a beer in the other, watching the game, it's still a body in the shot, man. It's still a body in the shot.
Yeah. Look, you know, I finished up that show, this Donnybrook show. It's actually still running. The show got amazing reviews. It got extended, but I had all these commitments. I had to leave before the end of the show. So, but I did it, and my, you know, my wife and kids were back in L.A. for the month, and then I came back, and she looked at me. She goes, "Listen, you gotta, you know, because we're trying to wean the baby, you know, and we got the other one that wakes up. She's got to pee, you know, and so she was handling both." You know, I have a show that I'm doing tonight. I'm doing a presentation of a show I've been working on for a while. And so, you know, I said to her, you know, I'm getting up now, you know, three times a night, you know, handling the baby, you know, trying to get her off, you know, give her a little bottle, trying to get her off the bottle so she doesn't breastfeed. And it's amazing. I just was like, oh my God, you know, if I had to do this all the time, I'd be a walking zombie. And you're working.
It's true. I'm glad you're a man who appreciates it, because we like that. We like when you know, like men who just go, oh, I know it's hard, but that's where it ends. But someone like you who really goes into it and says how difficult. Now, imagine, like, I felt like, I don't feel like this anymore. She's a little older and it's different. Although, actually, it still does resonate. But I'm kind of like the man and the woman. You know, like I'm out earning a living, right? Because after, you know, your agreement with your wife, it's like, okay, well, I'm earning the living. I got that under control. You're taking care of the kids and doing your own thing too. But I'm like wearing all hats, and it's a trip. I ain't going to lie. I mean, and that's why I was just like, I got to, and then also trying to create future stuff too, right? Yeah. So it's wild. It's wild.
I think my hashtag is going to be diaper changing dad. I changed four diapers yesterday. I was like, you know, man. And then the diaper genie broke, so we're like, screw it. Just get rid of the diaper genie. Just throw them in the trash. You know, whatever. And so it's interesting when you have two. Like the first one, you're like, oh, I got to be careful. I got to do this. You know, one's crying, and now I'm like, she's crying. All right, just let her sleep for a while. You know, it's like, she'll be fine. And it's amazing how resilient these kids are. I mean, they're just, I'm so happy I'm a dad. I can't tell you. So.
I know. It's the greatest thing in the world to be a parent. It's the greatest thing in the world.
Yeah, it's
the
unbelievable. And taking my older one to school today, and we're in the car, and she's singing. Just start singing. Da, 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 da.
Of course.
And she does the Ariel thing, you know, and she stops. She goes, da-da.
Oh, yes.
And like, she goes, I can't do the middle one. I can't do the middle one. I'm like, which one? She goes, I just start laughing. I'm like, it's awesome. And she's screaming at the top of her lungs, singing this Ariel stuff. It's hilarious.
Of course she is. Of course she is. Oh, my gosh. I love that. I love that. Now, by the way, when I say all this, it's not a complaint. I just want to make sure that people know. It's just me, you know, communicating about how what a wild ride it is.
Yeah. Well, you know what I like about it, Michelle? It's empowering because there are so many people out there that I bet are going, you know what, I can't have a kid because I'm a single mom. Or, you know, I've got to make money, or I've got to do this, or, you know, and they'll even, look, you can even hear people saying, oh, well, she's, you know, she's a TV star, blah, blah, blah. Well, it doesn't matter. The job is still the job. You know, you're still working long hours, plus press, plus all the stuff you got to do. Yeah. And, you know, I think it's inspiring because I want to encourage people. It's what I always try to do is to walk through any adversity or any issues that you think may stop you. You can do it. You know, you don't know what you can do until you have those things on. They're not even burdens, but, you know, the workload on your shoulders. I used to just look at it and say, you know, like we were talking about the, you know, the battling cancer thing. You know, this is a joy, you know, with having children. But guess what? It's work. But you can do it, and it's so rewarding. And look, and there are people that, you know, I know that actually can't have kids. So go out and adopt a child. There's so many kids that need homes.
Oh, my gosh. Well, yeah, I went down that journey. It was a very interesting journey. It's a little different for a single person to adopt than a couple. It was a little different journey. But I have many, you know, I actually have a beautiful story of, you know, a friend of mine knew I was trying to adopt, and I wasn't telling anybody about the whole, you know, surrogate thing because I wasn't sure if it was going to work, and I didn't want people to, you know, go, you know, are you pregnant? Are you pregnant? You know, like, so I kept it all to myself, actually.
Yeah.
And only a couple people knew. But this friend of mine called me in the middle of the night, and she said, oh, my gosh, you know, my niece just had a baby. She hid her pregnancy. It's premature. That this is your baby. And my surrogate was pregnant, was like 4 months pregnant at the time. Wow. And I was just like, oh my gosh. I said, you know what? I can't take it, but a friend of mine wants a little boy. I'm gonna call her. And I called her. And like, it makes me cry. It's such a beautiful story. I called her and I said, Shannon, I found your baby for you. I have your baby for you. And she ended up adopting this little boy, and he is the squishiest, the most beautiful, the most amazing little boy, the sweetest little boy. And so it's like you find your baby however you have your baby. You have it on your own, you adopt, but there are some amazing kids out there just that should be adopted. So I'm a big advocate of that.
Me too. Me too.
Yeah.
And you know what? We said we were going to talk about the, you know, Young and the Restless when we came back. We're going to take another break here. This is how my show is. This is what I love about my show because it's like we can do whatever we want to do. We can talk about whatever we want to talk about. Yeah, and I'll tell you more about that when we come back because it's really I want to keep it unique like this. But all right, guys, we'll be right back with more amazing Michelle Stafford at The Real Stafford on Twitter with James Barber on the Star Power Hour. We will be right back.
Success starts here. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. It's your world.
Everybody has a dream. For some, that dream is to become an actor, comedian, or dancer. Others dream of signing a recording contract, being on Broadway, or directing their own film. Now those dreams can come true because on 4Talent.com, we turn the spotlight on talent. On 4Talent.com, everyone can participate in online contests and festivals. Log on and get into exclusive interviews with industry experts, create personal scrapbooks and photo albums, plus communicate with other members who share your passions. So what are you waiting for? Whether you're an artist or a fan, sign up today. Membership is free. Join today, and you just might be one of the people who get to say,
I got my break on 4Talent.com, and you can too.
Change your world. Change your life. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
You are tuned in to Star Power Hour, brought to you by 4Talent.com. Your host is James Barber. If you'd like more information about 4Talent.com and what we do, just log on to our website at 4Talent.com. Now, back to the show.
Hey, guys, welcome back to the Star Power Hour. We had a little technical glitch, so I may sound a little different on here because we had to change a little technical thing out. But listen, we were talking about, and Michelle reminded me how loose the show is. And you know, the whole thing for me is that, you know, so often we hear these shows that we go on. I've been on them as a performer, and Michelle's certainly done them. You know, and it's like, well, I'm doing this next, or I'm going to do this project next. And what I like about this is that, you're a mom. You know, you're just like everybody else. You just got a really cool freaking job, you know? And, and I got a cool job. But the cool thing is that when we start talking about the stuff that we're talking about, it's that everyman scenario. Because we're all in the same boat. We're all in the same plan. And we're all doing the same thing. We're all, you know, pushing forward to make the world better, quite frankly.
Right.
And that's what I like about my show. It's just so relaxed. And we can talk about anything you want to talk about. But that being said, what I want to hear about, because I'm sure your fan base wants to hear it, though they probably already know it, my fan base hasn't, is how did you get started with Young and the Restless? What was that journey? That's a huge thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's been 16 years. And
wow.
16 years this summer. I just auditioned. You know, I auditioned, and it was a recurring character at the time. And the character was just really fun, and so Bill Bell, who was the head writer at the time, just continued to write it, and I was on for 2 years, and then I left. My contract was over, and I left, and then I was on for 3 years, and then I went back in 2000, and I've been on ever since 2000. So, yeah, it's been a lovely, lovely, lovely experience. It's been 16 beautiful, beautiful years. It's just the greatest gig. Everybody there is amazing. And I feel very, very fortunate to have played this character, you know?
Yeah, you know what's interesting about it? Because for me, if I do a Broadway show or something like that, I have the same character, but it doesn't change. You know, it's the same content every night, 8 days a week. I mean, 7 days or 6 days a week, 8 shows a week, and there's no change. And my story, I'm going to tell you quick. When I was about to open up Jane Eyre on Broadway, and I was on the 12 songs in that show. I was on the stage for almost 2 hours, on and off straight. And I had auditioned for a daytime show in New York, and I was going in to test. And it was between me and another guy, and the word was that it was looking pretty good. And so I was talking to my manager at the time, and I said, I'm really excited about this, because I thought it was cool, because you get to develop an arc of a character. And over that number of years, it's like you're living an entire life. You know, you get to develop that guy. And before the test, they said, well, listen, your call time is probably going to be like, 5 a.m. in the morning. And then, you'll run until this, and then you'll have your matinee days off. And I started thinking to myself, I'm like, all right, I'm doing a show where it's like a sport every night where I'm, blowing my lungs out and acting on the stage 8 shows a week. And am I going to be able to sustain the energy that will need to be had to record during the day, to film during the day, and then to do the show at night? And my manager at the time said, I don't think you should. I was like, all right, I'll take your advice. Dumbest thing.
Yeah,
I should the dumbest thing. I should have, and I was going in my gut, I'm like, I think I should do it. I think I should do it. I think I should do it. Amazing. The guy went on. Amazing. You know, he got the role, and it was amazing. I ended up not doing it.
What show was it? Who was the actor doing that?
I don't want to say.
Okay, you'll tell me after we hang up.
Yeah, I'll tell you all. But it was a New York-based show, obviously, and there was another friend of mine who I had done a Broadway show with this guy. And let's say...
But it all worked out because, you're a Broadway star, and had you been on that show, your life would completely be different now. So, it kind of, the journey all works out how we want it at the end.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. And it's the choices we make and what we're doing. But I love the idea that you've been able to create that character over a span of years and develop it. Now, did you get to have input on what your character was doing as it went?
I'm sorry, I didn't. Did I get to do what?
Did you get to have input? Like, after a certain number of years?
No. I mean, you don't have input. It's really, you know, a daytime is really a writer's medium. It really is. It's the writer has complete control over how a story is going to go. And you act it. And, you know, I've seen some actors try to manipulate the story to go the way that they want it. And you can't, you know, you can't really do that because it's really about the writing. I mean, the writing designates how it's going to be. And your performance is contingent upon the writer. So if you're not liking your story, there's really, like, there's nothing you can do about it. You just need to create it. And that's really, at the end of the day, our job anyway as an actor. It's like, you get the words, and then you create upon it. And the beauty between a writer and an actor, when it works, is they both understand each other's viewpoints. When it doesn't work, there's no understanding between each other. And then, you know, and there you go. But I have a lot of respect for writers in general, and I think it's very difficult to write a daytime show. It's the volume is amazing, and
I was thinking about that because it's not like, you know, doing an hour drama or, you know, a half hour, which, you know, for all intents and purposes may have gone by the wayside. But, you know, you're filming every day. There's content every day, and that's a huge task, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's huge. It's, you know, it's a tough thing for an artist, for an actor. I'll be honest with you, I've never said this before. But it's tough on an actor to do a daytime drama, I think, because it's a character that never ends. There's no beginning, middle, and end. There's a bunch of middles, right? I mean, storylines start and end, and you got to kind of create it for yourself. But I've played this character for 16 years, and I'm not somebody who takes it home with me. Thank goodness, because my character, you know, is completely flawed and screwed up and insecure. I mean, they all the characters are, you know. But sometimes people have a hard time separating themselves from their character, and they can get very, very jacked up. And there have been times where I've been so into a story, you know, I've been so into it that you know, I brought it home, and at least I recognize it. And I was like, oh God, okay, gotta end this. That has to stay at CBS.
Right. Well, it's fascinating too, because I'd imagine, you know, also the other cool thing is that you're building relationships with the other actors. You know, I mean, when I do a show, like the longest show I did was Beauty and the Beast, right? And I did it here in L.A., and then I did it back in New York, you know, for a couple of years, and I did it on and off for 5 years. But, the content never changes, and the actors come in and out. Like, an actor may go get a job, and because it's not a set, storyline. I mean, it is a set storyline. You're dealing with a guy that can, I'm the carpet. Okay, great. We'll learn this track because it's not going to change. And, you know, you put somebody in a costume and it's not the end of the world, right? Whereas, you know, you're dealing with the same people on and on and on in growing with them, I would imagine, you know, with relationships or romantic relationships or, you know, whatever they are. It's a pretty fascinating genre to me.
Yeah. It is fascinating because you're with that person. You're not just with them for a couple months. With them for every day. And I've had I've had a few leading men on the show, but two who I've had, you know, for a length of time, Peter Bergman and Josh Morrow. And I honestly think that part of you has to fall in love with them. And that's where people get a little weird. You know, that's where, when affairs happen on set and things like that, because I just think that a good actor allows themselves to fall in love with their leading man and, or vice versa, you know? But you have to be a smart person and know that it's pretend. And sometimes people don't do that. And also with your villains, you have to really like that person. You know, there's a lot of, you know, chick on chick mean stuff. And so you have to have a really show a lot of affinity for the actor, because it can get kind of funky, you know?
Yeah.
So, in order to really do your job well, you've got to feel it. And in order to, it's real emotions. And you've got to be able to separate yourself at the end of the day. But in the moment, I really hate the person I'm talking to. I truly hate them in the moment. In the moment, I truly love the person I'm. And then when it's done, it's done. And
yeah.
I think that's the secret. You got to know when it's done. You got to know when things are over. And
really?
Sometimes they're just over.
Yeah, I totally get it. You know, like the interesting thing too is that, you know, we call them showmances on Broadway or in theater. You know, it's a showmance. You know, you got a leading lady or a leading man, and they're in a romantic relationship. They fall in love in the play or the musical or the show, and the next thing you know, they're dating. And then when the show's done, they're done. You know,
they're done. Exactly.
You know, the cool thing about
it was all false. It was all like created upon this false relationship that was put there by writers. I mean, it's really bizarre to me. You have, and it's hard because you're creating this emotion. And in life, when you fall in love, really, you as a person, you're creating that too. So, you know, it's kind of a weird job like that, you know?
It really is. I want to talk more about, we're going to take our last break and we're going to come back for our final segment with Michelle Stafford, the amazing Michelle Stafford, at The Real Stafford on Twitter. And by the way, I didn't tell you my Twitter story, but I should tell you when you come back.
The
James Barber. So we're going to take our last break here. We will be right back. Stay tuned for more Michelle Stafford and James Barber on the Star Power Hour. We'll be right back.
This is the home of the top life coaches, entrepreneurs, and success drivers. The Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Everybody has a dream. For some, that dream is to become an actor, comedian, or dancer. Others dream of signing a recording contract, being on Broadway, or directing their own film. Now those dreams can come true, because on 4talent.com, we turn the spotlight on talent. On 4talent.com, everyone can participate in online contests and festivals. Log on and get into exclusive interviews with industry experts, create personal scrapbooks and photo albums, plus communicate with other members who share your passions. So what are you waiting for? Whether you're an artist or a fan, sign up today. Membership is free. Join today, and you just might be one of the people who get to say,
I got my break on 4talent.com, and you can too.
This is the home of the top life coaches, entrepreneurs, and success drivers. The Voice America Empowerment Channel.
You are tuned in to Star Power Hour, brought to you by 4talent.com. Your host is James Barber. If you'd like more information about 4talent.com and what we do, just log on to our website at 4talent.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to the Daytime Power Hour. Maybe I call it that, the Daytime Power Hour. What's that?
It is kind of Daytime Power Hour.
It is Daytime Power Hour. You know, this airs, by the way, 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on Thursdays. We're going to do, as my schedule gets, obviously I can't do it when I'm in Korea, but we have the ability to have people call in and ask questions and all that kind of stuff. I couldn't do it for the logistics of it at this point. I want to tell you I didn't finish it though. I think people were sending tweets to this guy, James Barber, on Twitter.
Right, right.
And I was like, what's going on? So finally found out, and he sent them to me. Ends up, James Barber, spelled exactly the same way. We are now friends, and he came to New York. He's the press secretary.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, but get this, he's really special. He's the press secretary for the British Embassy in Washington, D.C.
Oh, how cool.
We actually found out that we're related, believe it or not.
Oh, my gosh, that is so awesome.
Yeah, so he
is. I love that.
Yeah, he's at James Barber. And then I changed it to the James Barber. And he tweeted and goes, maybe I should do actually James Barber.
It's awesome.
Yeah, so that's my Twitter story. Yeah, so we were talking about relationships and shows and that sort of thing. And the interesting, I always say it's the interesting thing. Another aspect is that when you're rehearsing a show, a Broadway show or a play, you know, depending upon the show, it's anywhere from 2 weeks to 6 weeks of rehearsal. And you're thrown together with people who you may or may not know from the past, or you may not know them at all. And all of a sudden, you're forced to create a relationship as if you've known them, some of them, your whole life. You know?
Yeah.
But that's also the cool thing about acting. It's being able to get into those emotional places, but at the same time, as you said, you know, sort of leaving it at work. You know,
yeah, it's really fun.
Yeah.
I think it's really fun. And it's actually a lesson for life because, you know, like you can put me with any actor and he and I can create some sort of affinity between each other and some sort of love if he's like an open enough actor to want to do it, if he wants to do it, right? You can create anything. And so it's sort of like a life lesson. You actually can create anything with anybody, any relationship with anybody, if you have a basic chemistry there, you know?
Yeah.
Of course there has to be chemistry. And of course with you and another actor, there has to be chemistry for it to be great. There just has to be like a natural chemistry. And because, you know, you're, as an actor, you're creating something. And as a human being, you're creating it too. I mean, it's not being created by anybody else, you know? It's interesting
exactly.
to me. It's interesting.
It really is.
So that brings us back to me taking husband applications.
Absolutely. And remember, folks, starpowerhour@gmail.com. I will be the conduit. I am the matchmaker, make me a match. I'll be doing that. That's my new job, by the way. I'm giving up the entertainment industry, and I'm going to become a matchmaker. And I'm going to talk like this, and I'm going to make sure that you're matched, and it's going to be great. Talk about, to me, because, you know, I do it too. I mean, you know, you got a full-time massive gig, plus you're a mom. And, you know, but we also want to create things outside. Like, I'm directing this show in Korea. I've got VoiceAmerica.tv, which we're going to create and do have television content. I'm producing that stuff. I've got my comps. I've got the Broadway stuff. And I'm a dad, you know. What do you do for fun, and what do you want to do in the future for work? I mean, what's that about for you?
Well, what I do for fun is, you know, I usually do things with my daughter, and that's fun. And I have a lot of friends, you know, go out with them. I have gatherings at my house a lot. And I do home decor. I really love creating, redoing houses, and creating beautiful things. I love creating beautiful things. And in the future, gosh, there's just so much I want to do. You know, when I was going through my whole baby experience, me and my friend Denise Duff, she actually followed me around with a camera because from beginning to end, it was so insane. I haven't even gone into with everybody how absolutely insane it was, this whole baby process. But finally, it just got to the point where I said, Denise, we got to start filming this because I just keep, this thing keeps on blowing up in my face and I just kept on getting so wild. So she started filming me, and she was actually in one of my surgeries too with her, with the camera. So I have all this footage. I want to do something with that. I'm thinking about writing something about the whole experience only. And I'll tell you why, because, there are just the barrage of women who are, who respond to me and my experience and having a baby and doing it alone and my humorous take on it, it's astounding. And I was like, God, there's something there. Like, there's some voice that I have within that. I haven't really figured it out, but it's something. And then I just want to be funny, you know? I just want to be funny. I want to do funny things. I want to make people laugh, you know, at my expense, of course.
Me too.
You know, I just I'm funny, you know. I'm a big fan of being funny these days.
You know, I agree with you. You know, and most of my shows, I joke, the shows that I do, they call me Dark Brooding Guy because I always play this dark brooding leading man who go through this horrible angst-ridden turmoil and sometimes get physically maimed or die for the love of their life. And you know, and then I did a show called Urinetown, which is about a society where you can no longer pee for free. right? That's me. You know, I'm the goofy, dorky, stupid guy, you know, who likes to be funny. And, like, I'm developing a web series based on the show that we called Donnybrook. And we're going to call it The Rep, which is sort of like Picture the Office, but backstage at a theater.
Awesome.
And we did some YouTube videos about it. And literally, you can go to my YouTube channel and find them. We're going to eventually put it on voiceamerica.tv. But it's all humor. And to me, laughter is a universal solvent. You know, there's some great stuff. And I always think the greatest actors, I'm not putting myself in this position, but you think some of the greatest dramatic actors are also the greatest comic actors, because it's so hard to do comedy really, really well. But I agree with you. I think it's great.
Who can do good comedy for sure can do drama. It doesn't always go the other way around, but if you're a great comedic actor, you can absolutely do drama.
Yeah, look at Tom Hanks. You know, Tom Hanks started out theater and then did sitcoms and comedy. And now he's on Broadway doing a play called Lucky Guy. Now,
yes, I know.
Sorry, who we did Bosom Buddies with. I'm excited about it. Hey, listen, we only have a couple of minutes left here, but I just wanted to thank you so much for coming on. So, actually, the website is, you know, www.michellestafford.com. You've got at The Real Stafford on Twitter, and your blog again is what?
My blog. Well, my blog is going to be within my website, but you can go to the website now, but it's not, it's being reconstructed. So it's the old website right now, but stay tuned, because in the next couple months, it's going to be pretty kick ass. And it's The Real Stafford on Instagram and Twitter. And the hashtag is Doing It As a Single Chick. And the blog will be on my website, www.michellestafford.com.
I'm grateful that you're here. I'm so happy that you agreed to come on and you know, hopefully I'll see you in the next few days anyway. But take care of that little bean you got there, and I'll take care of mine.
So guys, you take care of yours.
Yeah, absolutely. Send my thanks. Go to Michelle. Follow her on Twitter.
Thank you.
Listen to the show. And next week we're going to have some amazing guests come on. You know, we'll tweet about that and we'll get it going. But guys, thanks so much for listening. This is James Barber on the Star Power Hour, on the Empowerment Channel for VoiceAmerica.com, brought to you by 4Talent.com, your arts and entertainment social network. Log on, tune in, and we'll talk to you next week.
Woo-hoo!
Thanks again for tuning in this week. James Barber will be back next Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, for another edition of Star Power Hour, brought to you by 4Talent.com, the arts and entertainment social network, on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. Now go check out our site, and we'll see you next time.